In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Every time we come to church, every time we gather together as the church, around the Word of God and around the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, as we do today, we know that we are boundlessly loved by God. It is given to us to know that God exists, that God loves us, and that no matter what we do, there's nothing in the world that could make God stop loving us, no matter how sinful or rebellious or silly or hard-hearted we are. There's nothing that can make God stop loving us. The great proof of this that we have in our faith is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God coming into the world in the flesh. We know that passage from the Gospel of John, very well known, that says God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle John tells us also that in response to God's love, we are called to love him in return. We are called to love God. The scriptures teach you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's in the Old Testament, and Jesus affirms that as well in the New Testament. This is what God commands us to do. And we also know that the only way we can show that we love God, or that we can prove that we love God, is by loving the person next to us, loving our neighbor. We know from another parable, who is our neighbor? They ask Jesus. Our neighbor is everybody. The evangelist John in his epistle says that if we say we love God, but we hate our brother, we're lying. We're lying. There's no way of loving God without loving your neighbor, without loving the person next to you. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is where we are today in this gospel of the Last Judgment that we hear from Matthew chapter 25. We could have a rule, kind of a maxim. I've heard some priests say this, that if we want to find out how much we love God, we can just ask ourselves, how much do we love the people that hate us? Or even the people that we hate? Because in truth, in our human weakness, we sometimes hate people, right? How much do we love that person? That's how much we love God. We also know that our love can't just be in words, and it can't just be in ideas and in speech. It has to be manifested in concrete acts, in reality. Our love has to be shown in truth and in act, St. John says. According to the gospel today, this is what we will be judged by at the end. This and only this. We're not going to be asked, to recite the creed, although it's good to know that if you're an Orthodox Christian especially. We're not going to be asked if we can chant in Greek or Arabic or Russian. It says that the king will sit down on his throne, and he will separate the sheep from the goats, and he will say to the one side, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Come, enjoy the heavenly kingdom, the reward that's been prepared for you. And they'll say, Lord, when did we do this? When did this happen? And Jesus tells them, when you did it to the least, and Jesus says, the least of the brethren, you did it to me. In other words, the lowest person you could imagine, the crummiest, most insignificant person you think doesn't matter, if you love that person, then you love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, then you love God. And conversely, if you don't do it to the low person, if you aren't loving to even the most insignificant person, it means you don't love Jesus, and it means we don't love God. Because that, in the lowest of the low, in the person we think doesn't matter, in the homeless person, in the prisoner, in the sick, the person that doesn't count, there and only there is where God is found. It's where God is found, and it's where God is to be loved. It's where God is to be loved. God isn't found in this world sitting on a throne. God is found in this world to the end, nailed to the cross. The most despicable, shameful, lowest type of situation one can find himself in, especially coming from that era, you know, the Mosaic Law and Judaism, crucified between evildoers, nailed to a cross, stripped naked, spit upon. There, brothers and sisters in Christ, is where we find God. And there, in the person who's down, in the person who's spit upon, in the person who's despised, is a stranger, is a foreigner, is sick, is in prison, is where God is found and where God is to be loved, if we believe. The Holy Fathers talk about how Jesus expresses this in Matthew 25, and how he can say, if you did it to them, you did it to me. You know, we read those words and we say, well, how does that work? St. Simeon, the new theologian, St. Augustine, they tell us a few things. Jesus can say these things because he himself became the least. He himself became the lowest when he took on flesh and suffered and died for our sins. Jesus was hungry. He became hungry as a human being. And in his hunger, in taking on our flesh, Jesus becomes for us the very bread of life. His hungry body then becomes for us the bread that if we eat, we'll never hunger again. The very bread of life. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, I thirst. He was thirsty. In his thirsting, he becomes for us the living water of life. He becomes that water, that blood, his very blood, that if we drink, we will never thirst again. Jesus had no home. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Jesus was homeless. What's more, he was kicked out of his home. He was crucified outside of the city of Jerusalem. This was supposed to be God's city. And after Jesus was crucified there, it tells us in Revelation that it's like Sodom. Jesus had no home. But in his homelessness, he brings us to our home in heaven. Jesus himself becomes our home. He becomes our sanctuary and our temple. He was naked. You know, Jesus was hanging there naked on the cross, stripped, spit upon, beaten, no clothes, very shameful. He was naked when he was born in the cave in Bethlehem. He was naked when he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was naked when he was baptized in the River Jordan, when he descended into the waters. In his nakedness, Jesus clothes us with the garment of immortality. You know, when we're baptized, we sing that hymn. And on major feast days, when the church traditionally baptizes, we replace Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal with as many as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, have worn him like a garment. He becomes our clothing, the garment of immortality. He was in prison. Jesus was arrested. He was put on trial. And of course, everything he endured in his passion. Being a prisoner, he sets us free from the bondage of sin and death. This is what the Holy Fathers teach us. So you see, if we have done it to the least, to the lowest, to the most despised, the most insignificant, we've done it to him. And if we've not done it, then we've not done it to him. And therefore, we really don't love God. That's the judgment. That's the judgment that will come in the end. A couple of things to think about as we go through this. These acts, these concrete acts of love, you know, if you think about it, some people aren't able to do them. You know, some people may be sick themselves. They may be homeless. They may be in prison. How do you clothe someone when you yourself don't have any clothes, you know? So, are they automatically condemned for that? No. And this is the important thing for us to learn. It's not so much isolated incidents of good that we do. It's not so much, well, I gave $10 here. I think I'm okay at judgment. You know, the church teaches us that it's rather an abiding attitude of the heart. You know, where we are all the time. How we are constantly, day to day, toward other people. How we treat them. And sometimes what's in our hearts and our intentions are more important than the acts. Because we see that there are some people who can't accomplish these acts. Doesn't mean they don't love God. It just means they don't have the means. What's in our hearts? That's the important thing. The abiding attitude of the heart. And then finally, and this is the thing we want to pay close attention to, these acts can actually be done without love. Without love. We can do good deeds and take care of people and give money to charity and welcome strangers out of pride, out of arrogance, out of vanity. You know, we want to be looked at, we want to be regarded, we want to build ourselves up. You know, and that's the scary thing that we should think about. It's kind of frightful, you know. Where is our heart? Where is our heart? If we do things with an attitude of look at me, put my name up there, and look for the praise of men, then the love of God is not in us. Remember what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians. You know, we could have faith enough to move mountains. We could deliver our body over to be burned even. We can give all our money to the poor. But if we don't have love, it profits us nothing, and we are nothing. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we hear these words today in the gospel, let us pray to God and beg him that we would be motivated not out of vanity and out of looking for the praise of men and pride and arrogance, but rather out of a genuine love for God and keeping His commandments, that our love would be motivated by that. Because we know that when the King comes at the end, He will sit down and He will ask the question, you know, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me, etc., etc., etc. And the degree that we have accomplished this out of genuine love for that commandment and love for God is what we will be judged on at the last judgment. We hear this today kind of as we go into Meat Fair Week. You know, actually, no, it's Cheese Fair Week. Today's Meat Fair Sunday. It's the last day we eat meat in the church. We follow the fast. As we prepare ourselves to undergo this transformation through prayer, through fasting, through acts of kindness, through increased attendance at services and participation in the sacraments and so forth. And the epistle we heard today, you know, mentions eating meat and not eating meat for that reason. So we just need to make mention of that here. The epistle from Corinthians. St. Paul says, the very first thing we heard, read, food will not commend you to God. Food will not commend you to God. You're no better off if you eat or if you don't eat. And now what Paul is talking about, of course, is Christians who are not bound by the Mosaic dietary restrictions, you know. They were free to eat anything, clean or unclean. Nothing is unclean to the Christian. And then, of course, Paul talks about food that was offered in sacrifice to idols and how the Christian, of course, should not participate in that. But the important thing is not the eating or the not eating. What's even more important is what effect it has on somebody else. Is it going to cause your brother to stumble? You know, are you going to make someone who is weak sin by your freedom? So we can transfer those restrictions, those principles, to what we do in Great Lent. You know, we're about to embark on, we said today is the last day to have meat in the church. You know, whether we eat or whether we don't eat, the important thing is what's in our heart. Some people don't fast. And if they're able to fast and they don't, then they're neglecting the tools that God is giving us to build ourselves up into His image. You know, it's not just about not eating. It's not just about staying away from meat and cheese and ice cream until Pascha. If we're only not eating, then we're starving ourselves. We're leaving ourselves empty. Make sure, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we do embrace the fast and use the tools that the church has given us, make sure that if we take something out of our life, we replace it. You know, if we take meat and dairy and going out to eat, if we cut that out, make sure we're increasing our prayer life. If we turn off the television, make sure we open up the scriptures. If we stop going shopping for ourselves, make sure we're doing kind, loving things for other people who need us. Because it's what's in our heart that we will be judged upon. And what's in our heart will be manifested in our works, as we see in the gospel today. So this is where we are. We thank God for the opportunity to be here at the liturgy, to hear the word, to prepare to embark on this journey of transformation that the Lord offers us in Great Lent. May our prayer be acceptable. May our fast be a pure one. And may our hearts be strong enough and good enough to prove that we love God by loving the person who is next to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.